see again Tana Rabbana on the bottom of Nun Aleph on the base. Tana Rabbana is a brisa. Emel Kablin Pigdainis Lomin Anoshim Lomin Havarim Lomin Hatinoikas. Why? Because it's probably stolen. In the days of the Gemara, the women stayed at home. She didn't go to medical school and practice in a hospital. She wasn't a lawyer. The husband had a job. The wife stays home. She raises their children. So the likelihood is that the money is stolen. Because if anybody gave money to the wife, unless in the rare case that they gave it to the wife, that's a machloikas in the Gemara. We paskin that the husband is still kani, still say, unless they specified, and it only belongs to you, you only have the right to buy shoes with it. You can't even buy a pocketbook. So if they said, not only the husband shouldn't have the right, the wife doesn't have the right to use it for anything else either. She only has the right to use it for one particular thing. So that the Gemara said, that's in Yerideya. It's in Maseches Nedarim. It's in Yerideya Hilchos Nedarim. What's it doing in the third Chelek Yerideya? Begins with Hilchos Shvuos, Hilchos Nedarim. What's it doing over there? If a person took a neder not to get Hanoa from Pliny, and Pliny gave money to a married woman, so is the husband, let's say the father-in-law doesn't get along with the son-in-law. And he took a neder to asa his nechasim on the son-in-law. So then he gives money to his daughter, who's married to this miserable son-in-law that he doesn't like, right or wrong. He doesn't get along with him. So the question is the wife kind of the money, or is the husband kind of the money? If the husband's kind of the money, then the husband's getting hanua from the father-in-law. If the wife is cutting the money, then it belongs to the wife. The husband is not getting hanua. So that's why it's in the dorm. So that's why there we paskin, amarash ein lebailach, the same machlek is by Eved also. If somebody gives a matana to an Eved, kanayin, Eved Ivri, the din doesn't apply. Kol mashkan Eved kan rab is a din deraisa, only applies to Eved kanayin, doesn't apply to Eved Ivri. So if someone gives a matana, the Gemara puts the two shaylas together. If someone gives a matana to the Eved Kanayni, Amanoshe Ein LaRabba Chushus Boy. So does that already solve the whole problem? You don't apply Kol Mashikana Eved Kana Rabba. Oh, no, you have to give it for a specific purpose. If it belongs to the Eved completely, even though the Noisen HaMatana said Amanoshe Ein LaRabba Chushus Boy, still goes to the Yodon. It's only if I save, and it only belongs to the Eved with respect to a particular purpose. So it doesn't even belong to the Eved fully. He only has bailus when he gave it to one thing. Dekalaperis, he only owns it with respect to the one thing. So then you don't say, kol mashkana kana rabba. So that's what we paskin, both by the Eved and by the Isha. If someone gives them a matana, and you only have the right to use it for a specific purpose, that's a very rare case, it's not going to happen so often, in that case it doesn't belong to the other, doesn't belong to the husband. That's a rare case. How then can the wife say she has money? She says, my mother died, and this was from my Yerusha. That the husband will know whether the mother died, whether there was a Yerusha. Well, it's a secret, the husband didn't know about that. There'll probably be records in the Bezin. The Bezin will know whether the mother died. I should say her father died, and father died, and mother died. Rare. It's a rare case. So that's why Em Kabin Pigdon has been on the ocean, because the likelihood is it's probably stolen money that the wife stole from the husband. And probably the Eved, Avodim, Marbe Gezel. The Mishnah says probably stole the money. And the Tinoch is also the young little children. They probably stole the money. So what about, let's say, forget about Emel Kabin Pigdonis. Let's say the wife has a pocketbook full of money. The husband says, I want that money. It's stolen. So she says, no. Somebody gave it to me. She knows the din. She looked it up. She learned by the GPATs. So she knows the din. That's and only have a right to buy pocketbooks. So he's going to go buy another 25 pocketbooks that should match each one of the 25 dresses, right? So can the husband, so the likelihood is that it's not so. So can the husband take away the money from the wife? So that's usually the din and halachah b'mam and acharav. The wife is muchzik on the money. She's holding on to the money. So the husband says the likelihood is that it's stolen. That's why ein mekabel pikdonos, because the likelihood is that it's stolen. So you're not allowed to help out the ganav. You're not allowed to help the ganav and the gneiva. But if the husband comes and he says, "Give me all the money that you have, and give me all the money that you have," likelihood is that it's stolen. That's the din and halachah b'mam and acharav. All right. So that's the bottom Tosis discusses that. Let's see again the Gemara. Tana Rabbana de Braisa. A third person is not allowed to take a pikudin. Not min anoshim, not min abadim, not min atinoikas, because the likelihood is it's probably going to be stolen. It's very rare that it's not stolen. What if he have a kibel min ha'isha? So what should he do now? So should he give it back to the husband? Should he call up the husband and say, "Your wife gave me $100,000, what should I do with it?" So it doesn't say you call up the husband and you tell him, "Your wife just gave me money, should I give it to you?" It says, "Yachsa le'isha." So Tosis points out. Well, maybe we'll finish the brisa first. Yachsa le'isha. You don't call up the husband and say, "Your wife gave me money, should I give it to you? Or should I hold it for the wife?" The mesa, if the wife dies, yachsa le'baila. Why yachsa le'baila? Because Abal Yerusha Sishtai Eftan Isuin. If they already had Isuin, so Abal Yerusha Sishtai. Even if it's true that the money belonged to the wife, but once she dies, so the Bal Yarshans. Kibal Minho Eved, also, you don't give it right back to the Odon. Yachzal Eved, if the Eved comes and he says, a month later, he says, "I want my Pikotin back," so he's going to have to give it back to the Eved. You have no right to assume the Eved certainly stole it from the Odon. He probably stole it from the Odin, but the Eved is muchzik on it. When the Shoyim HaPikudin is holding it on behalf of the Eved, it's also is muchzik for the Eved. What does it mean muchzik? Muchzik means there's a concept of shaloy of bishusoy. We spoke about it more than once. There's a machlekes in Bava Kama. Machlekes HaTanoim may have been on a b'china. No, there was a machlekes HaTanoim in Maseches Maaseh Sheni. Can you be paid the Netta Revai that was stolen? I have a whole Netta Revai is only by trees. It doesn't apply to vegetables. It only applies to fruits on the tree. So the first 3 years, everything that grows is Zarla. In the fourth year, whatever grows is Netta Revai. So you have to bring it to Yerushalayim to eat it. Or if you want to, if you live on far away from Yerushalayim, Kirchat Miocham Mokam, Kilo Suchal Seisoi, so then you can be paid to the Netta Revai. It has the same din as Maaseh Sheni. Put the net to Revai and take the money to Yerushalayim. And the Satakasa Baboka Batsona Bayayin Bashech. All these psukim that I'm quoting don't say by net to Revai. It says by Maaseh Sheni. But net to Revai is called Kodesh, and Maaseh Sheni is called Kodesh. So they still say in the Mishnah, it's Zer Shabba, Kodesh, Kodesh. So all the dinim from Maaseh Sheni carry over to net to Revai. So a fellow has a farm and he has a sign up, "This year everything is net to Revai." And Ganovim come and they steal it. And he's afraid the Jewish Ganovim. Jewish Ganovim, they'll be over an Avera by eating it, Chutz Lirushalayim. It's not Koreis, it's not Misa B'dei Shemayim, but it's an Issa. Not even over the Lav. You only over the Lav if it was brought into Yerushalayim and then you took it out. Because, man, you didn't bring it into Yerushalayim, it's only an essay. It's not a Lav. You're over on the essay. If you brought it into Yerushalayim, that's called Habas Mokum. If you bring the net to Revai, then Maaseh Sheni into Yerushalayim, then it has the full Kedusha. Then if you take it out, then you're a violation of the Lav. So the farmer, the owner of the farm, feels bad for the Jewish Ganovim that they're going to violate an Aver. So some Tanoim say, "Don't feel bad. Let him drop dead. He did an Aver, he stole. Why do I have to advertise that it's net to Revai and make sure that you pay there before you eat it? Chutz Yerushalayim. I have to help out the Ganovim." And the Tznumim were Hasidim, Sadikim, and they felt bad for the Ganovim. They didn't want the Ganovim to violate the essay. So they would be paid then at the Revai after the Ganovim had stolen it. So the simple reading of the Mishnah is that the Tznumim with Tanoim, they were of the opinion, they had this legitimate opinion, that even though it's Shalei Ve'ein Bishusi, it's stolen, whenever someone steals something from me, he acquires a kinya geneva. Once it's a kinya geneva, then it's only shali veina bishusi. So even though the thing is shali veina bishusi, I still have the ability to be paid in the net to revive. The other Tanaim disagree. They say no. And that's a machlekes in Baba Kama. Daf, where is it? Samach Des, I think. Machlekes Rabbi Yechanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yechanan and Paskin's like the majority opinion that in order to be a full Bailam, you have to have Shaloi Ubir Shusai. And if it's a double gozel, if the gazlanim stole it, it's ain't a bishusai. So you can't be Magdish and you can't be Magnet and you can't be Mafkarit and you can't be Paidin and that derivai. If Shaloi ain't a bishusai, you're not a full Bailam. And Reish Lakish Paskin like the other Tanim. And Rabbi says in Yevamis, and Lamed Vavis, so that whenever there's a machlekes Rabbi Yechanan and Reish Lakish, we always pass on like Rabbi Yechanan, except for three cases. This is not one of the three cases. Tosfos just quoted that recently, no? The Rabbi says, halachic ke Rabbi Yechanan. Forgot already where. I think we just had a Tosfos recently. So again, what's it doing in Bava Kama? So in Bava Kama, the Mishnah has Hagoina ben Aganif is potter from paying kefil. Why? Because of the Gunim and Beis Oish. I mean, Motzi Aganif Vishalim Shnayim. If it stole Hagunim and Beis Oish, we'll love him Beis Aganif. If Aganif stole my Gemara, and then Aganif Shane steals with Aganif Rishain, so of course he doesn't pay kefil to the Aganif Rishain. The Aganif Rishain doesn't own him. Maybe he has to pay kefil to the original Nignav. So the Mishnah learns out from the Pasuk, Vigunim and Beis Ish, Vulaim and Beis Aganav. Aganim and Aganav, since by the Ganav Rishon, the Gemara is Shali of the owner of the Eina Bishusi, so the owner, the rightful owner, the real Nignav, is not a full Bailamana. So the Pasuk says, you don't pay Kefon on such a case. Vigunim Beis Ish, Imati Aganav, Vishalim Shalim. That Pasuk, Vigunim Beis Ish, Imati Aganav, Vishalim Shalim, where does it go? Vigunim Beis Ish. Who's the Beis Ish? The Shemer. The Parsha in Mishpatim is talking, a Shomer is holding on to the Pikodin, and a Ganav stole me Beis HaShomer. So how is that Shaloi B'Shusai of the Mafkid? It's not B'Shusai. The answer is, Taisa says, all the Rishonim say the same thing. Everybody knows it from the Taisa, though, but all the Rishonim agree with Taisa. If the Shomer is holding it on behalf of the Mafkid, then it's Shaloi B'Shusai of the Mafkid. The only time it's considered ain't a B'Shusai if it's stolen. So the Ganav is not holding on behalf of the Nignav, he's holding it for himself. If it's lost, that's a question. Let's say, I lost my Gemara, I don't know where it is. So the Ritva writes a few times above Metziah, that's Shali or Bishusi. The only time it's saying a Bishusi is if there's a Ganav who acquired Kinyon and Geneva. Let's say the Ganav stole Karka. So there's a Machlekes HaTanaim in the end of Baba Kama, the very end, next to the last Daf in Baba Kama, where the Karka and Gzelos are Karka and Gzelos. What do you mean Karka and Gzelos? You don't violate Lo Sigzal. It says you do violate Lo Sigzal. It's a difficult Tosfos, and Azeh Neshach, Tosfos says on the first Omer Aleph, and Azeh Neshach, that you don't violate Lo Sigzal. So the Pnei Yeshua says it's against the Torah's Kanim, against the Sifrei. It says, Beferish, you do violate Lo Sigzal. So what does it mean? What's the Machlokes? Whether the Karka and Gzelos and Gzelos. Machlokes says whether the Ganav usually acquires what we call Kinyan Gneve and the Chefer Tzaganuv. What about by Karka? So we paskin Karka in an exilus. There's no Kinya Geneva. So whenever my next neighbor stole my Karka, it's still Shadiyu Bishusi. Because the only time it's called Dana Bishusi if there's a Ganav who has Kinyana Geneva. So that's what the Ritva says. That if I lost something, I lost my Gemara. I forgot where I put it. It's lost. So the Ritva writes, nobody has Kinyana Geneva on it, just that you lost it. So the Ritva thinks that that's Shaloi u'Bishusa. That is Bishusa. There's a question. There is a Rambam who perhaps disagrees. The Rambam may disagree in some cases. If you have a boat that's lost at sea, now boats are not lost at sea. You can talk with a wireless. You can talk to the people on the boat. But years ago, when Columbus left Spain, there was no contact at all with the boat. So if a boat is lost and no one knows if they're alive or dead, they don't know where the boat is. So the Rambam sounds like he says that that's called Eina B'Shusa. The Rambam says that the Pchor doesn't get Pishnaim because that's called Ro'u, it's not called Mukhsuk. Why isn't that called Mukhsuk? Sounds like a Shaloi Eina B'Shusa. Anyway, that's a question. So getting back over here. there's a concept of muchzok. There's a concept of hamotze machaver all of araya. Whoever is muchzok, if you want to be moitze from the muchzok, you have to have araya alimta, all of haray with the hey hayidia. You need araya alimta. There's machloikis later on, and hamechas haperis. Machloikis Rabbi Shmuel, where the hochma mammon achar haray, main hochma mammon achar haray. What's the machloikis? Can you be moitze mammon based on a rov? We pass from like Shmuel. Ein hochma mammon achar. You can't be moitze mammon based on a rov. Can be moitze mammon from the muchzok. Who's considered the muchzok here? The eved is holding on to the money, and he claims that it's his. Very far-fetched, and highly unlikely that it's his. The stama, he stole it. Stam avadim are usually gazlanim. The wife has a fortune and money. The wife doesn't have a job. She sits at home all day. How can she have money? So she claims somebody gave it to her. Amarash ain't about a whole story. Somebody told her how to formulate her taina. Some rabbi told her, some crooked rabbi told her how to formulate her taina. When she steals the money from her husband, she should claim it's hers. So you can't be moitzi moment from her. But the likelihood is that she's probably lying, probably stole it. But then it says, kibam minu isha, if I did take the pikodin from the isha, yachsa li isha. I can't call the husband and say, I have you, your wife gave me the money, I'm going to give it to him. In hoch mamam and acharab, you can't be moitzi moment from the muchzok. And the shomer, ein mekabel pikdonis means a pikodin. The shomer is going to hold it for the isha. Holding for the isha, so the isha is the muchzok. That's shaloi b'shusoi. If a shomer is holding on to a pikodin on behalf of the mafkid, so that's considered shaloi b'shusa of the mafkid. That's why it says a chumash. The guna mebesu ish, it's stolen from the home of the shomer. Imotzi aganav v'shalom shnayim. He pays kefil. Guna mebesu ish for loy mebesu aganav. Why? Because hagadim and aganav doesn't pay kefil, because the original nignav was ainet b'shusay. It was only shaloi ainet b'shusay. But if you stole it in Beis Ha'ish from the Shemes home, that's considered Shaloi B'shusai of the Mafkin. So the Isha is still the Muchzak on it. So Yachsa L'Isha, you don't call up the husband and give it back. It may say Yachsa L'Bailo, because the husband Yarshin's his wife. Kibel Minu Eved, you shouldn't have taken a Pikodin from the Eved, he's probably got it. But if you did, and then the Eved comes and he wants it back. The Yachsa Levit. You don't call up the Odin and say, the Eved just gave me $500,000. Is it stolen? Is it your money? You're not allowed to do that. You have to give it back to the Eved. You have no right to assume, you have no right to be Moitzi Momin from the Muchzuk. The Eved is the Muchzuk because the Shomer is holding it on behalf of the Mafkin. So the Eved is the Muchzuk. So you're not Moitzi Momin based on a Roiv. Yeah. How could there be a Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel? That's the pshat and the brisa here, that you know, it's machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, but the holchem imam and achar haroi. Where's that machlokes? But the holchem imam and achar haroi. Hamechas haperis, no? Tzadik Beis Amar Aleph. Right after the Mishnah, Itma, Hamechas shor l'chaver v'nimtza nakhon. I bought a shor from the store, and I'm a farmer. I'm not a butcher. I don't shecht behemoths and sell them. I'm a farmer. I need a shor to plow, to do the work. And it turns out that it's a wild shor. You can't control it. You can't use it to do melacha. Rabba Amar Reza Mekach Tosh Malamar Yochalam La Leshchita Mecharti Vloch. So the Gemara, okay. Then the Gemara says, what's the machlokes? Let's see her shine. Again, here on the top of Amud Beis, the fourth line from the top. Rav Amar Reza Mekartos Basu Ruba Azlina Ruba LeRad Yozavni. Most people, most farmers, buy shor to plow LeRad Yo, not to shecht it. He's not in the butcher business. He's in the farming business. Once a year. On his anniversary, for Rosh Hashanah, whatever, once a year for Purim, he buys a shor and he has a sheichet shechted and he has a big party, but usually he can't afford that. So Ruba, the Ruba is, he's buying it l'radio, so it's a mekach tois. So he should be able to give it back and get his money back. Shmuel HaMalach, ki azlina basa Ruba. The Chumash says, achram lahatis, that's only be isur and isur v'heta. B'mamayin aloi means you can't be moitzi mamon from a muchzok based on a roiv. if you have an aveda and you don't know who dropped it, whether, let's say, I have a check that's made out. Reuben wrote a check and he signed it and it has Shimon's name on it. So do you give it back to Reuben or do you give it back to Shimon? So the Mishnayos talk about that in the first parak of Bava Metzia. So the Mishnayos say, you go basa roiv. You can figure out what the roiv is. What happened to the din? And Hoch Mamam and Acharav. So Tosi said, that's not a kasha. And Hoch Mamam and Acharav means you can't be Moitzi Mama from a Muchsov. Here, whoever is the rightful owner, he dropped it, he lost it. So neither of them is the Muchsov Ganon. You don't know whom to give it back to. So then you go basa roiv. Hashavas Aveda, all the Gemaras in the first parak in Bava Metzia say, you do go basa roiv by Hashavas Aveda. But to be Moitzi Mama from a Muchsov, you don't go basa roiv. So we pass on like Shmuel. Usually, when there's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, so the Gemara says in the end of Chayrus in Perik Yesh Bechor, that Hilchos the Rabbi Yisuri Kishmuel B'dinim. Usually, passed like Rabbi Yisuri Heta, and Ruba the Ruba will be passed like Shmuel and Dinim Mamas. There are exceptions to the rule. There are cases where we pass like Rabbi and Dinim Mamas, and there are cases where we pass like Shmuel and Yisuri Heta. But usually, that's the klal. I think the Maharsha writes in one place that. The Gemara says that Rabbi Shmuel were living in Eretz Yisrael, and their roots originally were from Bavel. So they both decided that they wanted to move back to Bavel in order to establish yeshivas there. So each one went to a different city, and they were living in Eretz Yisrael. There's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but there's a mitzvah to service the Jewish communities and chutz laors also. They need some rabbanim. So they went to Bavel. So Rav requested smicha from Rabbi Yudah Nasa, and he gave him smicha. And Shmuel also wanted smicha, and every day something else came up, and then the boat was leaving, so he had to leave, and he never got the smicha. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yudah Nasa felt very bad that he wasn't able to give smicha to Shmuel. And then somebody told Rabbi Yudah Nasa, you don't have to feel bad. That's what it says in Sifrei Shel Adam Harishon, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. So when Adam Rishon woke up, so he showed him what the world is all about. He showed him the way all of history is going to develop over the years in a certain direction, and the way the Torah, the Jewish history, and the way the history of the development of the Torah is going to develop, and who are going to be the Rabbanim in every generation, Dor Dor V'Dorsha, Dor Dor V'Chachamav, Dor Dor V'Seifrov. And they mentioned in the Sifra Shel Adam Rishon that was supposedly shown to Adam Rishon when he was. Zeh Sefer told us Adam, and Sefer Shalot Amarishan. Does mean that the Chumash is a history book of mankind? It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam Arishan a Sefer that shows how all of history will develop. So Sefer Shalot Amarishan says there's going to be two Rabbanim, contemporaries, and Rab is going to get Smich, Shmuel is not going to get Smich. That was the plan from the very outset. So in that Gemara in Bava Metzia Peivava, so when the Gemara tells this story, the Rav Shmuel with the Smicha and Sifrei Shel Adam Harishon, so the Mashua says maybe that's why the din is like Hilchos HaKarabi Yisuri, because Rav got Smicha. Why is the din like Shmuel and Dinim Amunis? There's something missing over there. We're not sure exactly what the Maharsha means. But anyway, so that's what the Gemara says usually. Usually Hilchos HaKarabi Yisuri, Kishmol B'din, here we pass like Shmuel. So this Braisa. This Brisa seems to be beferish like Shmuel. Yachsa leisha and yachsa le'evet. You don't say since the likelihood is that they stole it from the husband or they stole it from the other, and you should give it back. No, the isha is considered the muchso because the shomer are holding it on behalf of the isha. So that's shaloh or birshusa. If it's shaloh, then we don't know if it's shaloh. But she was muchsik before. It was birshusa. Muchsak means b'shusay. That's one line. The Ktzais assumes that there was a pasha like that. He's defining in one place what's called muchsak. So he says, because b'shusay, that's what muchsak means, is b'shusay. So the same thing, the evet. If kibbel min hu evet, you shouldn't have taken it because of the evet. But if you did, you hold on to it. You don't call up the odin and say, I have your money because your evet gave it to me. No, it's shaloi. It's b'shusa of the Eber, and you don't be moitzi, you're not moitzi it from the b'shusa based on a roif. In Meis, Yachsa the Rabbi, if the Eber K'naini dies and you give it to the Yodon, why? Because we assume that now who is going to be the Muchsa? What are you going to do with it? Maybe it belongs to some. Who does it belong to? Maybe the Eved was holding it as a pikadon from somebody else. Echateisa. The likelihood is that that it probably the Eved acquired it and called Mashikana Evakana Rabbi. The Pashta said that it does belong to the Adam. So once the Eved dies, you can't say you can't be Motzi from the Muchzuk. The Eved is dead. Doesn't have any Yorshim. If a person dies and he was Muchzuk on something, then we consider his Yorshim are considered Muchzuk on that. The Eved doesn't have any Yorshim. Eved ain lo yachatz. The Eved doesn't have any Yorshim. So so you have no choice. So yachzol le rabbi. Kibel min ha-kotten. So if the kotten is going to ask for it back, you're going to give it back. So then the kid is probably going to waste it. A young child, the kid is probably going to waste it on some stupid thing. So you don't say, the Rashbam writes, kibel min ha-kotten, lo yachzol lo. Don't give it back a month later when the kotten comes and says, I want it back, sharei, any day lishmar. You don't know how to hold on to money. You're going to be wasting it. You're going to give it back to the Eved. You give it back to the Ish. You give it back to the Eved Kanaini. That makes sense. He's a Muchzakan. So give it back. But you give it back to the Kotten, a young child. He's going to waste it. So that's why the din is Yasalo Segula. You should somehow put it aside for the Eved. What does it mean Yasalo Segula? So Gemara has two opinions. Either means you buy a Sefer Torah that the kid should be able to use to learn from it. And Rabbi Bravuna says, Dikla Dochem in Eitam. You buy him a tree. You plant him a tree, you buy him a tree, you'll be able to eat the fruits that grow on the tree. Okay.
What if the Eved gets married and has kids after he's freed?
At the time that the Eved gave me the pikudin, he was still an Eved. So at that time, the likelihood is that the money did not belong to him. Let's say, if a non-Jew owns money and then he converts, so we say Gershon has got a cotton shenal adami. Or let's say the Eved Shenishtachra is also like he converts now. So you say cotton shenal adami. You don't say all the money that he has in his bank account no longer it becomes Efker. You don't say cotton shenal adami. He's not. You don't say he's not the same person that he was before. He's the same person that he was before. He takes on a Jewish name now. Okay, but he's still all the money that he has in the bank account still belongs to him. But we assume over here the likelihood is that it probably did not belong to the other. It probably was stolen from the other. There's a far out chance that why not consider the children as muchzokim? Why not consider the since the Eved was a muchzok while he was alive? So after he dies, why not consider the children as muchzokim? I don't know. It's a good question. Got to think about that. So let's see. What does the bottom Tosfos say? Kibel menu isha, yachzal leisha. Nireh. Tosfos thinks that the din is, it would appear, dim omer ha'isha tein leploini she'em shalom. Married woman gives me a pikodin, $100,000, I should hold it for her. She's going to come back in a month. Middle of the month, she calls me up and she says, the $100,000 I gave you wasn't my money. It's a pikodin by me. It belongs to Reuven. Someone else. It belongs to my cousin. Give it to Pliny. So the question is, do you believe her or not? And didim omnes in it to edim ksherim. So how can you believe the woman? So Tosfos says, near it would appear that the din is, dimar mahisha tein le Pliny, shehem shalo, the money really belongs to Pliny. And it was a pikodin by me. So Tosfos thinks the din is, the noisein lo. The Shomer should give it to Pliny. Why? Then a man is he, the woman is believed to say it belongs to Pliny. B'migud yibay shok le'i minei li'avale. What does this mean, migu? The Pashto says they don't mean migu. They mean biyodo. He said the other day, there's a Gemara in Yesh Noichlin, Abal Shama Gerashti Esishti. So the Gemara first says, Nemon. There were these Gemaras. Here's a Gemara. Kuf Lamed Dalet on the base. About 8 lines from the top. Baal Shem Megirash Tishti Ne'emon. Why is he Ne'emon? Well, biyada, then you skip a few lines. I'm Rabbi Yosef. If it's biyada, I said, therefore, Baal Shammai Gerashti Yisishti, Ne'eman, Ha'ala biyada le'garisha. Since he has the ability to give her a get, it's biyada, he has full control. He can give the get even Baal Korcha. It's an Isser, it's not proper, but it'll be Chal Baal Korcha. So it's fully biyada, so therefore he has Ne'emanis. That's a Gemara. Then there's such a similar Gemara we mentioned. The Gemara, this is Amaroyim speaking. Amaroyim speaking. Then the Gemara has a few lines later, we're not so convinced. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Baal Shammai Gerashti Yisishti, Eino Ne'eman. Why should it be Eino Ne'eman? Just said before, Biyado Legarsha. So the Rashbam says, Eino Ne'eman. There's a Rashbam here, the Misa, the Gerisha, Kala Yisrael Milsa. It's a Biyado, but it's contradicted by Ruba de Leisa Kamon. If it's really true that the husband divorced his wife, it would have been the latest news. The whole neighborhood would have heard about it. You have to have a Sefer, you have to have Edim. So someone, the people would have heard about it. No one heard about it. How can it be? So that's a Ruba de Leisa Kamon that's contradicting the Baal Shammai Gerashti Yisishti. So that's a question on Halacha Lamaisa. That we say maybe it's a Einan Emam because of that consideration. But if not for that, and Misa de Gerashti Kol Islay, then there is a Din that Biyodo is Nemam. So we said the same is true. There's a Tosefta in Maisa Sheni that's quoted in Sanhedrin on Daf Lamin on Bet Aleph. The Gemara quotes a Tosefta that the father passed away and the children are saying, Shit, I go to be Menachem Avos. So I say, your father once invited me in and he took me to the backyard and he dug a hole. I can tell you exactly where. He dug a hole. He walked 10 steps to the north and then 5 steps to the east. And he dug a hole there 200 feet into the ground. You'll find $1 million in cash. And he told me it belongs to Elio. It belongs to Shimon, whatever. It belongs to someone else. I'm only an Eid Echad, though. In Mamanus, you have to have two Eidim. And the children would never find the money in 1 million years. They would never know where to, how would they know where to dig in the backyard? So the Gemara says, even though they would never find the money, Eid Echad is Eid Anemim, because in Didi Mamanus, you have to have two Eidim. So they'll go and they'll dig and they'll find the $1 million and they can keep it. But if he says, I was once with your father and he went to Central Park at 2 o'clock in the morning and he dug a hole and I can tell you exactly where and he buried $1 million and he said it belongs to Shimon, so I myself could have gone to Central Park. I can go in the middle of the night when no one's watching, dig the hole and take the money and give it to Shimon. So since it's Biyodi, so then I'm Neman. So Biyodi was Neman by Mominus, even though Miyikir Adin you need to wait. Biyodi is Neman by Dovah should be Erva, even though you're learning Zereshava, Kimotza by Erva is Dovah mi Momin. You need to aid him in the Bir Hadover. And then Biyodah is Neman by Yisra Heter also. We have a din, Eid Echad Neman by Yisurim. Eid Echad is not believed, Kineged HaChazoke. Let's say the father died, and there's a bin that says on the top, Maiser Sheni. Well, everything over there is he's a farmer, and he's Mafrish Shemagdala, Maiser Rish, and Maiser Sheni. So he has a whole bin full of Maiser Sheni. So I say, I was once here last week. The father, they're just getting up from Shiva. Last week I visited by your father. I was watching when your father was paid the Maisa Sheni, and he gave the money to someone who's going to Yerushalayim. They're going to use the money to buy food in Yerushalayim. So the Maisa Sheni, even though it's still in the bin, it says Maisa Sheni, I know for a fact your father was paid it. So we pass on Alocha, that's a discussion in Yevomis and Daf Peches. We pass on Alocha, Eid Echad is not Neman Keneger HaChazokah. It's Becheskas Maisa Sheni. It was in the bin that says Maisa Sheni. And the children know that it was Maisa Sheni. The father always put the Maisa Sheni there. So this Eid Echad is telling me Keneger HaChazokah. He's saying Faker. Eid Echad Keneger HaChazokah is not believed unless it's Biyodai. Let's say not that it's in the bin that says Maisa Sheni. It's a Hegdish. He has it wrapped up and it says this is Hegdish. Hegdish, you don't have to be the Bailam in order to be paid. Anybody can be paid a Hegdish. So the stranger comes to the children middle of Shiva and he says, the thing that says Hegdish, I know for a fact that your father was paid a Hegdish and he gave the money to the Gizbar. And he didn't have a chance to take off the wrapper, to take off the sticker that he put on that says this is Hegdish and don't touch it. Your father told me that it's not Hegdish. I was watching when your father was paid a. So since I could have been paid a Hegdish, my Sasheni, you have to have Shaloi Bishusa to be able to be paid. If you're not the farmer, you're not the owner, and the farmer didn't give you authorization, you can't be paid to someone else's Masheni. But Hegdish, anybody can be paid to the Hegdish. So the Gemara says, Ibn Oirechut, Kenegarach Azoka Zeno Neman, you don't apply Erechut Nem Bisurim. You need two Edim, just like Mominus and the Poshets, you need two Edim. But if it's Biyodo, then Erechut Kenegarach Azoka is Neman. That's Taisus Estad Kasha. Let's say the Shechet Shechet Behema, and he tells me that he Shechted it properly. How do you believe the Shechet that he Shechted properly? Erechut Nem Bisurim, but it's Kenegarach Azoka Behema Bechaya, Becheskas Yisrael Menes. The animal, while it's alive, is either Eid Menachaya, Eid Zvucha, whatever, there's an Easter, you can't eat it. So Tosfos answers that it's Biyodai. That is Biyodai. And even if the fellow who's saying this, he says, I know. Yeah. Biyodai. So whenever it's Biyodo is an Emanus, an Easter, the Heter, even Kenegar, a Chazoke, where you need two Eidim. Biyodo is Neman, Biyodo is Neman and Mominus, and Biyodo is Neman and Dovish of Yervo. By plain case of Erech Nemisim, you don't need Biyodo, because Erech Nemisim. But if it's Kenegra Chazok, you need two Erechot, you need two Edim. Not the same, let's say, Erech Nemisim doesn't have to be an Eid Kosher. A Ganef is also Neman and Erech Nemisim. Let's say the Ganef is making a bar mitzvah, and everybody's going to come to his home, and he has cakes, and he has flesh, and everything. Can we trust him? So the ganef, that's what he does for a living. He's a ganef, but he's a kosher. He keeps kosher. So he's neman. In Dovish of Yerva, in Dina Mamas, you have to have two kosher edim. You can't have kreivim, you can't have psulim. But in Erech and Nemisum, even kreivim and psulim are also good. So if you have erechot, can egera chazok, zayin and neman, so you need two erechots. You don't need shnei edim sherim. You need two erechots.
What makes the shochet a baldavar? If it's not his cow, he's just
shechting
someone else's cow. How is he a baldover?
He's not. Who said he's a
baldover? What?
He's not a baldover. He's a bailam. The one who is biyodo lishchot, if it's biyodo lishchot, he's called a bailam on this act of shechit. He's not a baldover. It's a new nemonis of bailam. Whoever has the ability, the baal shem megarash lishishli nem, because biyodo lagarsha. So Tosfos says over here, if the married woman gave $1 million to the shomer to hold. If she comes back to the shomer at the end of the month, she says, give me back the money. He has to give it back the money. He's holding the money for her. Once he gives it back the money, she can give it to Shimon. She can give it. So Tosfos says, near it would appear the Momro, who isha ten the plani shame shola, give $1 million to plani, it's really his money. The din is the nice and low. The shomer happy cotton should give it to plani. Why? Then the men say, why? The migu over here in Tosfos, it doesn't mean migu. It means biyoda. It's biyoda. The buyer, if she wants to shop leihi mine, she can ask the shomer, apikod, and give it back to me. That's what it says. If the imkibel, if you did receive it, yachsa leisha. If the isha comes and she asks for it back, you give it back to her. So since it's biyoda, she can ask the shomer, give it back, and then she'll go and give it to Shimon. So when she tells the when she tells the Shomer, give it to Shimon, it belongs to him. So you believe her, because whenever something is biyodai, even though you really should have needed two kosher edim, and whenever it's biyodai, the person is believed. The bayshok li minei, the avale, she can give it to Shimon herself. Filoim habal shamam and shalom. And even if the husband claims that he knows for a fact the wife was stealing money all along, because he left a lot of money in the drawer, and the wife only bought food, clothing, she didn't. Where'd she get $1 million from? He didn't leave him. There should have been more money left in the drawer. So even if the husband has a tainas vada, even if the husband tainas to the shaymer hapikoden and to the wife that it's his, he cannot be moitzi the mama from the wife. Why? That's the din is like Shmuel. That ain't holchem a mama nachar arayv. Even though the likelihood is that the wife probably did steal it from the husband, but the wife is muchzak on the money. So he said, I'm going to machaber all of her, I need a raya alimto. It's not enough, the rubid alaysa come on. Midiko Amar, how do you know the Baal can't be moitzi the mom? Midiko Amar, it says, if you did receive the pikodin from the wife, yachsa leisha, if the wife asks for it back, you give it back. So he says, havala namem, yadiya la Baal. Why is yachsa leisha? You should call up, the bryce should say, call up the husband and tell him, your wife gave me $1 million to watch for her. What should I do with it? Is it stolen money? Is it your money? She doesn't work for a living. It doesn't say that Yodi ala Baal. So Tosfos says, Im ho yekoyach biyad ha Baal lehoitzi miyoda. If the din would have been that the husband is neman, to be moitzi neman from the wife, if he says it's his, so then the brisa should say vim kibel yodia labal, notify the husband that you have the money. It doesn't say that. So you see that the husband will not win. If he'll make a dintar against that, he will not win. Even though the rive is that the money belongs to the husband. That's saying hochma mamanachar harive. So then Tosis raises an issue. The Gemara tells a story on the next daf. Here in the second line from the top of Nun Beis Amanala. Vukulam shamar b'shas misasam. Let's say the married woman or the Eved, they're about to die. On their deathbed, people like to say vidui. So on their deathbed, they start saying who it really belongs to, who the money really belongs to. So it says, "V'kulam shama b'shas misasam shel pleniham." The money really belongs to so and so. The asa kid peirushan. The shomer should follow the instructions that the married woman or the Eved Knaina gave on their deathbed. You shouldn't give it back to the husband. And if that's not reasonable to give it, to do that, the wife gave me $1 million and she said, $1 million was from Pliny. Pliny dresses like the poorest man in the city. What, he gave the wife $1 million? It's ridiculous. And if that's absolutely unreasonable to believe her, that she says, the money is not mine, the money belongs to Pliny. Pliny is the poorest man in the city. Yes, a pirish le perusha. So you shouldn't listen to what the person said on the deathbed. It's not true. She stole the money from the husband, and she's embarrassed to say the truth. So she says the money belongs to Pliny, the poorest man in the city. Or the Eved is also embarrassed to say that he stole it. So on his deathbed, he says, "It's not my money; it belongs to." Instead of saying the truth, it belongs to my odon. I stole it from the odon. He says, it's a pikudin that Pliny gave me. It's not shaykh, it's not reasonable. So it can't be a pikudin. So Yashat Pirush le Pirush. So the Gemara tells a story. The Visu, the Rabbi Barba Chana, the wife of Rabbi Barba Chana, she was on her deathbed. Kiko Shochvo, when she was about to die. Omra Hani Kipi is some kind of jewelry. Okay, so she says, this jewelry that I'm wearing, she was married to her husband all the years. Rabbi Barba Chana, he didn't know where she got the jewelry from. So now she says, it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Marta or B'nai Brata. Marta is a man's name, a woman's name. I don't know who. Marta, usually a woman's name, I think. Who is a sister of Rapriya? Rashi is. Okay. So Marta or B'nai Brata. It belongs to Marta and her grandchildren. And then the wife dies. Rabbi Barba Chana's wife, on a deathbed, she says that the jewelry that I'm wearing belongs to so-and-so. Also the Kami de Rav. So Rabbi Barba Chana went to ask Rav, should I listen to what my wife said? What kind of marriage did he have? He didn't know his wife is telling him a lie. On a deathbed, she's telling her husband a lie. Okay. So a different kind of marriage. He didn't date her forever like we do. They probably looked at her once. Also the Kaddish HaSishal Shiran HaTchili. Now that a marriage on Tussia. So he saw her and he married her, and she? He didn't have too much. He didn't know his wife too well. So on her deathbed, she told him a lie. So Rav said to him, "Im hamdalach, if you think she's telling the truth, asay ki perusha. So give it to Marta and her grandchildren, be in love. And if you don't think she's telling the truth, asay pirush le perusha. So figure out on your own who it belongs to. Ika de amar, another version. By the time the Gemara was written down, there were two versions of what this story was. The Gemara was written down way later. Another version has it. This is what Rav told Rabbi Barba Chana. If you think Pliny is wealthy enough to have given these pieces of jewelry to your wife, I say ki perusha. Okay, so give all of the expensive jewelry to that Marta. And if you think Marta is not wealthy enough, how can it be? This is a golden jewelry or something. It cannot be. Marta is not so wealthy. So then I say, Pirush le Pirusha. So do whatever you think is correct. So that's what... So Tesis is discussing this case. Behold, on the third line in the Tesis on the bottom, Behold the Maflik B'Sama B'Dvisa the Rabbi Barba Chana. And the next story, the Gemara distinguishes, Bein Mehemna, Bein Loi Mehemna. Whether Rabbi Barba Chana, does he think his wife is telling the truth, or does he think that she's telling a lie on her deathbed? So Tosfos says, Hanemile bishas misasa. Why? Tosfos just said on the first two lines, if the woman gave a pikadon, she gave me a pikadon, I shouldn't have taken it in the first place because the likelihood is that it's stolen. But I did take it. So it doesn't say yodi alabal. It doesn't say I notify the husband. It says, yachsalisha, if the woman comes and she wants it back, I give it to her. So if she comes, she wants it back, I'll give it to her, she'll take it and give it to Pliny. So even if she doesn't come and take it, she says it really belongs to Pliny, I was holding it as a pikadon for Pliny, so it's bi'oda. It's bi'oda to take it from me, because yachsalisha, and to give it to Pliny. So since it's bi'oda, so she's the menace. So Tosfos says, so she's the menace. So why does it say, if you think she's telling a lie, so don't give it to Pliny. Why? But Tosfos just said, she is the menace. So Tosfos says, no, she's the menace if she's healthy. Here, the story was she's on a deathbed. Because the Brisa says, Kulam Shama Bishas Misasam Shaplani. They're holding by dying. So the Gemara tells a story. Rabbi Babahana's wife was on a deathbed and she said, it belongs to Pliny. So if it doesn't seem to be correct, so don't give it to Pliny. So Tosfos said, but we just said that you listen to the wife. So I said, no, you listen to the wife because Biyada, on a deathbed, she can't take it and go give it to Pliny. She's about to die. She has no koyach to do anything now. What a mafli b'samuch, next Gemara, the wife of Rabbi Baba Chana, between mehem and loy mehem, no hani mili, that only applies b'shas misasa. The leisla migu, it's not Biyada anymore, the boy shoklamin evi abalamisha rotza. If she wants, she can take it back from the Shomer, because Yachsalish, and she can give it herself. But over there, she's on a deathbed. She can't do anything. So she doesn't have that biyod anymore. This is not biyod, so she doesn't have namonis. So if you think that she's telling the truth, that's a nudin. That's kim lebegabe milsi. Let's say, Rabbi Baba Chana's wife passed away. And on her deathbed, she says that all the jewelry that I have is not mine. Usually, habayorish is ishtay. So, when the wife dies, Rabbi Baba Chana can use the jewelry. He'll give it to his second wife. After the first wife dies, he'll marry someone else. But over here, the wife says on her deathbed, all the jewelry that I wore doesn't belong to me. It's on loan. She was married for years to Rabbi Baba Chana. It was all on loan. It came from Marta and her grandchildren. So the minute I die, give it back to Martha and the grandchildren. So the Gemara says, Rav told Rabbi Baba Chana, if you think she's telling the truth, do it. And if not, not. What's the din? What should the din be? Eid Echad is not Neman on Yerusha. Yerusha is din imam, you need two kosher Eidim. She's only an Eid Echad and she's a woman. She's not even an Eid Echad. She's an Eid Echad puzzle. She shouldn't be believed. But that's a din. Kim lebegavi milsehi. Rabbi Baba Chana knows his wife, and so he says, if you think your wife is telling the truth, then you should give over the money to the other person. Even though you don't have two kosher eidim, it's only his wife is an eid echad, puzzle. But still, if you know your wife is telling the truth, so give it to Pliny. That's Gemara's and Ksubas. Kim lebegavi milsehi. If I know that my wife is telling the truth, so I have the right to follow her. This was a big shaila in Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote a tshuva in Europe. He lived under the communists, and he ran away from the communists, came to America. So under the communists, you had the parents were observant, and the children were communists, and they ate treifas. When the parents got old, they couldn't take care of themselves, so they had to move in with their children. So the shaila was, the children, and they had a refrigerator, and they had, so the parents had kosher food, and the children had trefa food. So can the parents trust the children that they're not switching the pots? They had their pots that they cooked the kosher food, and the children didn't keep kosher. So can they trust their children that they're not using their kosher pots for trefas, and they're not switching the flesh in the refrigerator? They're not feeding them trefa food. So strictly speaking, that's a Mishnah in the Bechiris. If someone doesn't observe, let's say in the mikveh, you have to have a mikveh lady to be able to watch, to make sure that the women are tovel in the mikveh, that all of the hair was submerged under the water. If a person is tovel in the mikveh and the hair is on top of the water, the hair wasn't under the surface of the water. So the tefillah is no good. Let's say you're tovel in the mikveh, you leave a pinky out. So the whole tefillah is no good. Even though it's a miyut, shena makbir, that's a din of chatzitza. But if you have no bias maim at all, there was no bias maim, so the whole tefillah is no good. You have to have a mikvah lady. What if the mikvah lady is an honest woman, but she doesn't observe, she never observed taras hamishpacha? She's not religious. So let's say you have a kosher restaurant. There's no mashgiach, a kosher restaurant. There's one that runs the restaurant, Jewish people, but they don't keep kosher at home. They don't keep kosher, but they say for those who keep kosher, this food is kosher. So the Mishnah says they're not nemanim. So Mishnah b'cheres on daf chav tesa, so daf lamed achosher al adova le'donav al amid. If a person doesn't observe this area of halacha, he's not to be believed. Let's say you have by svardim, you have women who are careful on taras hamishpacha, they're not so careful on kashrus. By Ashkenazim, you have the reverse. You have a lot of women who are careful on kashrus, they don't observe taras hamishpacha. But the din is whatever area of halacha they observe, so to the extent that they observe it, they're namonim. It's not a miracle. If the person doesn't observe taras hamishpacha, obviously they're not that observant. So how observant are they going to be already on the kashrus? They're going to make sure that every single ingredient that they're going to use has an OU on the bottle. Every single thing they're going to have. Maybe they won't be so careful on the kashrus either. So then they're not observant in kashrus. But if you know that they're meticulously observing the kashrus, but they don't observe taras hamishpacha, then they're neman and kashrus. And if they're meticulously careful in taras hamishpacha and not observant in kashrus, then they're nemanim to be the mikvah lady. In the area where they observe, so they're nemanim, they have nemanis. So over here, that's the problem. The children are communists, they don't observe kashrus. So you can't believe them when they say the pots are kosher, the parents' pots are kosher, and the food is kosher. You can't believe them, al pidin. But if the parents know in their heart that the children, sometimes they didn't know in their heart, they have, it's a judgment call. If the parents feel so secure, kim le bigave, I know for sure my children will never tell me a lie. I know they're not observant, but they're not going to tell me a lie to give me tray for food. They know that I am observant. So kim le bigave milsa, even though on the books officially the children don't have their manners, but if I know that they're telling me the truth, so then I can rely on that. That child in America now is in the reverse direction. The children are Bali Chuba, the parents are not observant. The opposite from what it used to be under the communists. Here in America, it's fakir. The parents are not observing. The children go to yeshiva and they keep kosher and have their own pots and pans. So they're in the yeshiva the whole year. And then they go home for Yom Tov or something. So how do they know that the parents didn't use their kosher pots for tray for food? So if the children are feel very secure that the parents would never do that for them, they have to feel secure. They have to feel positive that the parents would never switch the kelim on them. So then they have them on. So let's say the parents say, we bought this food in the kosher restaurant. So can you believe them or not? They bought it in the kosher restaurant. There's no wrapper. There's nothing there. They say they claim they bought it in the kosher restaurant. So if the children feel that the parents would never tell them a lie, even though the parents don't keep kosher, so if they have no nemanis, but if that's called kim l'digabe milsehi, if I know for sure that they wouldn't tell me a lie, I can rely on that. So that's what Rav tells the Rabbi Bar Bachana. If you think, if you think in your heart, if you feel in your heart your wife on a deathbed was telling you the truth, usually people on a deathbed do tell the truth. Then I say, kipe rusha. So give the money to Shimon. Give the money to Shimon. And if you think that it's not true, vimlai, and if you think, you're not convinced that your wife was telling the truth, so then don't. Because al pidin, she has no nemanis. And didi mamis, you have to have two kosher eidim. If she's only an eidach and she's a posel eid, she's an isha, so she's a posel eid. So Tosis asks, why don't you say she has nemanis because biyoda? So is that because she's holding on a deathbed? She can't walk. She can't take the money. She can't take the money, go to Shimon and give it to him. She can barely talk. She's a geisus. Bodem afli b'samach, b'mehem de loy mehem de hanemila b'shas misa de leis lamigu. She doesn't have the biyada de boi shok lamine v'yav lamisha roitza. She could have taken it back from the shomer and given it to whomever she wants because she's sick. What if tokav habal biyada? What if the husband grabbed? The wife has her own pocketbook and she has $1 million cash. and the pocketbook, the husband grabs it from the wife. And talk of how Baal Miodom. The husband cannot be moitzi the mamon from the wife based on a ruba de leisa kamon. Because in hoch mamon acharei. What if the husband grabbed it from her? So now she doesn't have the manis to say. The wife doesn't have the manis to say that this money really belonged to Pliny. The likelihood is that it's not true. The likelihood is that it really belongs to the husband. So Kozman, the wife is muchzik on the money. So the husband cannot be moitzi, he will not succeed in it entirely to get the money away from the wife. But if he grabbed it from the wife and she's no longer muchzik on the money, a shomer, if she gave the money to a shomer, so the shomer holds it on behalf, yachzal liisha, the shomer holds it on behalf of the mafkid, and it's considered shaloi b'shusa. So if considered b'shusa, then she's considered muchzik. But over here the husband grabbed it, not that he's going to hold it on behalf of the wife. He grabbed it because he claims that it's his. And talk about Baal Miodom, then it's not Peshusa of the wife. So since the rife is that it is stolen from the husband, so he can keep it, and the wife is not in the manus to say it really belongs to Pliny. Sure, there's all proof. What do they say? Right? V'dafke b'mo'os t'munois. The love of men who issued the leel b'mo'os t'munos airi lahamol. What did it say in the braisa? Here, six lines from the bottom of Nun Aleph and Aleph. Love men who eved v'shichraru. Or love him in Haisha, the Girsha. Ein lehem alav klum. The Eved cannot ask, the Eved has a star halvoy, that the Odom borrowed $500,000 from him. The wife has a star halvoy, the husband borrowed $500,000 from him. So the Gemara says, my timer, why can't they ask for the money after he divorces his wife and after he frees the Eved Shikra, Girsha? Why can't he ask for it? Because, Lam Shir Namin, the Gului Zuzu Hudiboy. So the Gemara said, "Raman base that's for the Galui Zuzu who the boy." The Gemara said right before, "Kamim was tumunim, kamim was sheni tumun." That's only if the husband or the adon didn't know where the money was. He doesn't know where the money is. So most tumunim, then you can say that's for the Galui Zuzu who the boy. So on Amud Aleph, that it says, "Love him and Eved." Ein lo alav klum. The Yevid and the Isha cannot claim from the husband, from the Odon, they want him to pay the halvoy because the galui zuzu who the boy. So Tosh says that's like the Gemara says on Amud Beis. They must be talking about Moos Temunos. Love men Isha Moos Temunos are midikomer the galui zuzu who the boy. And the Gemara says that's what only applies when the Moos are Temunos. Avmoos sheinu Temunos yesh lo. Or love, then the wife, it wasn't hidden money. The husband always knew that his wife had the money. She always had a ton of money, and she wasn't hiding it. So it can't say the galui zuzu who the boy. He borrowed the money from the wife because he knew she was stashing it when she was hiding it. He knew where the money was. It's in her dresser. He always had access to it. It wasn't hidden. So Taisa says, in such a case, Avamoah Sheinu Temunos, if the money was in an obvious location, Yesh La'olav, then she has a Shtar Halvoy that says the husband borrowed money, so after he divorces her, she can ask for that money back. V'cheinim Tokav, what if the husband grabs the money from the wife? It's Mo Sheinu Temunos, Matzin Mi'odah. If it's Mo Sheinu Temunos, Matzin Oysa Mi'odah. Taisa said before, I'm Tokav, Ei Matzin Mi'odah, the fourth line from the top in the Tosef. Im tokav haba miyoda, en yuchad lehoitzi miyoda. That's only if it's mo'ez she'ena t'munas. That's only if it's mo'ez t'munas. But it's mo'ez she'ena t'munas, he knows where the money is all the time. And he borrowed it, yeah, then he has to pay it back. Chenim tokav matzi miyoda. If the money was always in a conspicuous location, so then it's her money. Then we don't assume that The husband borrowed the money in order to galui zuzahu the oda. The old made a koma rova the bumbo shein and tmunas. Konso, the wife is koine, mashma dim talk of matzi and moisim the oda. Shine, okay. Okay. A lot of details. Good. See, this din, imehem nalach haseh, ki perusha, that's because kim libigave milsehi. The alpidin, it shouldn't work, because she's only an eid echad, and indeed a moment's eid echad is not believed. But the husband knows his wife is not going to tell him a lie, and on a deathbed, the husband has a feeling in his heart. He knows she's telling the truth. Yeah. Okay, so then the Gemara has a few lines later. So the Gemara quotes a caption from the Mishnah. There's no cheskes habatim. So the shaila is, Om Rabbi Yosef, afilu chilku. Not only do we assume the father is not makbid if the son is going to use peiros from his karka. Son is not makbid if the father is going to use peiros. Not only is that true kozman, that he's single and he's living by the parents, even if chilku, even if the son is married and he doesn't live there anymore. Still, if the father's using the peiros from the son's property, the son's using peiros from the father's property, they're not makbid on each other. So that's a machlokes if that's true or not. Sure. Amar Rav Yosef, afilu chilku, even if they parted ways. Rav Amar, chilku, no, it doesn't make sense. If the father and the son parted ways, he's not single anymore, he lives in his own apartment, and he's on his own. He's not pishut with the father alone. So the din in the Mishnah doesn't apply. Amar Rav Yirmiyah, medifti, over Rav Papi Yuvda, chilku loy. He says, I know for a fact Rav Papi paskens l'alocha like Rav. That chilku, the din in the Mishnah doesn't apply. Ki Rav, like Rav. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, I heard from Ishtoi Li Rav Chiya Mihormiz Archir. I was told by Rav Chiya from that city, Ishtoi Li Rav Acha Bayankiv, that who Rav Acha Bayankiv told him, Ishtoi means to tell over here. He was told in the name of Rav Nachman Bayankiv, Chilku Loi, same as Rav. Ilchasa Chilku Loi, that's how he paskin against Rav Yosef. Even though Rabbi Yosef Afilu Chilku, but all the other Amoraim disagree. So then the Gemara says, and it's Taka Brisa that says Beferish. Tanya Rami Yochai, the Brisa says against Rabbi Yosef. Ben Shechilak V'Yishtosh and Itzgash, Ben Kishak Alodim, the Mishnah doesn't apply. Okay. Now the Gemara starts a new topic. A lot of halachas, you have to know what's the Yumdin in order to know what the facts are. Itmar. Echad Ben Rachim, let's say the father dies, and the oldest son is, and they still have tfusas habayis. They never made a chaluka. They didn't make a chaluka sayorshim. And one of the children is selling and buying, is taking care of all of the assets. Echad menachim, usually the oldest child. Sometimes the oldest child is sitting and learning, so the one is not learning, the one is in business. So he's taking care of everybody's assets. Echad menachim, shoyinoisim, inoisim, tarach habayis. He's taking care of everything. Onos ushtoris yotzim al shmo. What is onos? What does the word onos mean? So Rashi, the Rashban quotes the pasuk Kochi Vereisha Soini. Reuven, it says, Reuven was the first child. Kochi Vereisha Soini means Kochi. So there are shtoris. There are shtoris that are written in his name. That he bought something or he sold something. So the question is, he sold it and he bought it. It's his own assets. We sold and he bought on behalf of the Tfusas Habayis, on behalf of the estate. So what do we assume? So he claims this child in whose name all the story, all the documents are written. He claims that it's mine. I bought a farm with my own money. I bought the farm with my own money. It's my farm. Not that I bought the farm with the money from the Tfusas Habayis. And the other children don't know what is telling the truth or not. They're relying on him the whole time to take care of all of the estate, but they don't know whether this is true. All the documents are written in his name. It doesn't say as representative of the whole family. Just has his name. He claims shalihen shenof limin beis avi ima. I got it. They have the same father, but they have a different mother. So he says, I got it from my grandfather, from my mother's side. So they didn't get Yerushin. They have the same father, but each one had a different mother. So the question is he Hamotzi Mechaver all of Harayim? All the Shtoros are written in his name. So is he a Muchzok on whatever the documents say? Or do you say no? Since he's representing, we know that he always represents the whole estate. He's like the apotropos on everything. So maybe all the documents, even though it doesn't say, maybe it's self-understood that it's him as representing the whole estate. So that seems to be a machlokes. Omar Rav Olav Lahavi Raya. He's not called a Muchzok, Shmuel Amar Al Hachem Lahavi Raya. That since all the documents are written in his name, he is the Muchzok. He's the Muchzok on everything. And if the brothers claim that he really only did, he bought and he sold everything representing them, so the burden of proof is on the brothers. And Rav holds Olav Lahavi Raya. The brothers are the Muchzok. So it sounds like a machlek is Rabbi Shmuel, who is the Muchzok? Omar Shmuel. So Shmuel says, Modeli Abba, Rav. Rav was his real name was Abba. His real name was Abba, the Gemara says. They called him Rav because he succeeded in getting smicha. Shmuel did not get smicha. That's the Gemara and Bob Metzia. They both decided about the same time to go move to Bavel. So Rav succeeded in getting smicha from Rabbi Uranus, and Shmuel did not. Every day something else came up, and then the boat was leaving, so he had to leave. So it's Machleg is Rabbi Shmuel, who is considered the Muchsa. Omar Shmuel, so Shmuel makes a statement, Moideli Abba, he calls him by his first name. They were buddies. Moideli Abba, my friend Rav, would agree to me, She'imeis al ha'achim lahavi raya. Rav says, Olav lahavi raya, the burden of proof is on the brother, he has to prove. He has to prove that really the brothers are, that's what it sounds like. Rab says the brothers are really muksa because everything else that he does on behalf of the estate. So we should assume even the documents that are written in his name, it's on the name of the estate. The estate is the muksa. They're all muksa. He's not the muksa. That seems to be the machlekes. But now Shmuel says, Moideli Abba, Rab would agree to me. Shemais, if the brother dies, Alachim lahavi raya. All of a sudden now, we assume that the brother who died was the Muchzok. So why is that? Why is that? So the Gemara asked, it doesn't make any sense. Maske lo rapope, rapope asked the kasha against Shmuel. It doesn't make any sense. Klum taninan lehu liyasme, because you say taninan. We had taninan on mem aleph and mem aleph. The Gemara quoted the pasuk, psach picha le'ile. Psach picha le'ile. Taininan has the sheiches with Purim. I spoke on Shabbos that I mentioned this. In the bracha that we recite at the end of Kriyas HaMegillah, we say, HaRabbis Yuvayna V'adonis D'neinu V'hanoikem Esnik Masena. What are the three Lashonis and Achanike? You say the same thing. And Allah Nisim Raptas Rivam Dantos Dinam Lekam Tesnik Masam. What are the three Lashonis? Rav Soloveitchik said that when he was a young child, he once visited by his Zayde Rab Chaim. Most of the time he spent by the other grandfather. He was born in Chaslavich. He was born, and he always saw the other grandfather. The last 2 years of Rav Chaim's life, they were together, Rav Soloveitchik with his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik with Rav Dovala Soloveitchik, with Rav Chaim, all together in Warsaw. But before the last 2 years, Rav Chaim died, I think Rav Soloveitchik was around 15 years old or so. So, but the earlier years in his life, the first 13 years, he hardly saw the grandfather, because he spent most of the time with the other grandfather. They lived closer to the other grandfather. So he said on one occasion when he was younger, he visited in Brisk. So he heard this drasha from Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim was explaining, what does it mean? Rav Tosrivam Dantos Dinam Nakam Tosnik Masam. So Rav Tosrivam, the Medrash Rabbah, I forgot about Yigash or something, Medrash Rabbah quotes a steer between two psukim. One pasuk says, Nitzav Lariv Hashem. Hashem is standing in judgment. He stands when he judges. The other pasuk says, he's Kem Melech Yoshev. He sits in judgment. So which is it? Does he sit or does he stand? So the Medrash says, it depends whether he's judging the Jewish people, he's judging the Ummah Soilim. So which direction does it go? So the Mefarshim on the Medrash give one pshat. Rav Chaim gave just the opposite pshat. So the Mefarshim on the Medrash say like this, the Gemara has a machlokes. If a person took a neder and he wants to get a hataras and darim, so there are two ways to be matan neder. Either are they pesach or are they charotah. Hayde Pesach, so the person, it takes a while to explain a Pesach. A Pesach is, the person says, the neder was a neder b'tos, because if I would have realized the details of what's involved after I took a neder, I would not have taken a neder, because it's too difficult to observe. So then he requests of the Bezin, they should be matan neder for him. Sometimes he took a neder, the Mishnah has in the dorm, a guy comes home, and he sees he had ice cream and cake and a lot of snacks in the kitchen, and he sees, before he has a chance to come into that, he sees everybody's partying and having, they're eating up all this ice cream, they're eating up all this food. So he asks, he makes a neder, I ask all of my food on all of you. There's a neder, I take a neder not to eat potato chips. I can take a neder, no one's allowed to eat my potato chips. So the man walks home and he sees they're all eating up all of his ice cream. So I ask all of my ice cream on everybody. Then he walks into the kitchen. He sees that, well, it's his father and his brothers. So he said, that's a neder b'tos. So he doesn't need a hataras in the dorm there. It's mutter without a hataras in the dorm. That's mamash hataras. A man marries a girl, he thought he was dating the girl for 7 years, Rachel. He was dating Rachel for 7 years, and then they give him Leah instead of Rachel. So that's mamash kedusha tos. You don't have to have a hataras in the dorm over there. That's a kedusha tos. So here also, the neder is a neder b'tos. But over here, this is not a neder b'tos. He doesn't get along with his mother-in-law, and his mother-in-law is celebrating her 100th birthday party, and then he takes a shvuah, he's not going to go to the birthday party. Then the mother-in-law is so furious, so she cuts him out of her will. He's not going to get any yerusha, and she's a rich mother-in-law. He's losing a lot of money. So then, what did he not know? There was no mistake at the time that he took the neder. He didn't know in the future. He didn't know how stupid it is to take a neder that you're not going to go to the 100th birthday party. So you don't give the mother-in-law a kiss. See? You don't kiss the mother-in-law. You go to the party, say, happy birthday. You should leave up and ask him, Shalom, what do you have to take a neder for? So he said, he comes to the best. If I would have realized how angry my mother-in-law is going to get, I would have never taken a neder. So that you have to discuss. So if you want to be mater neder, Ayidei Pesach, you have to, Bezna has to be yeshiva. You have to have yeshiva das, and they have to sit and listen to decide whether it's a valid Pesach or not. If you hold poischem acharata, that's a machlekes in the Gemara. Poischem, can you be matar the neder with a acharata, or do you have to first try to make a Pesach? So we paskin poischem acharata. So if you can, he says, I have acharata that I ever took the neder in the first place, right? So if you hold poischem acharata, then you can, the Bezin, who's doing the hataras and darm, can do it in a standing position. Because you don't need such deep iyun. Person just says, I have charata that I ever took the neder. I remember once I was davening in Broya, so one fellow, he passed away already since then. It was a couple of years ago. So he said, they were going around with the pushkin to collect money. So he tells me, he took a neder, he's not going to give any money to Broya, but he wants me to be mata neder for him. So I said, the abcharota that you took, why did you take the neder? You're not going to give money to Broyers. He says, he's angry at the rabbi. He gives me a whole explanation why he's angry at the rabbi. So I say, the abcharota that you took the neder? He says, no, he doesn't have charota that you took the neder. The neder was right, but now he's embarrassed because every day the gabba goes with the pushkin, everybody puts in a penny. He's the only one who doesn't. So he has charota now. But he doesn't have charata, why he took that? So I said, I can't be matar the neder. Can only matar, I have charata in the meikor. I have charata. I made a mistake in the first place by taking the neder. The guy says, he didn't take it, he didn't make any mistake. So the Gemara says like this, if you hold poschem acharata, that's easy to be, it's very easy to be matar and neder, then the bezin can do that in a standing position. But if you hold poschem acharata, you have to be matar and neder with a Pesach. So that already needs iyun. You have to think about it, whether the Pesach is valid or not. So then the Bezin has to sit. So that's what the standard Mefarshim learn. On the Bereshis Rabbah, Bereshis Rabbah is the oldest from all the Midrashim. The Shmos Rabbah and the Bamidbar Rabbah, that's later. But the Bereshis Rabbah from the days of the Amorim. The others are from the days of the Goinim. Some from the days of the Rishonim. Bamidbar Rabbah is from Rabbi Moshe Adarshim. That's the days of the Rishonim. So the Medrash Rabbah says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges Umas Olam, so the Mefarshim say he's going to judge everything, he's going to punish them for every little thing that they did wrong. So then he sits in judgment. And deeds of Lariv Hashem, when does he stand? When he judges the Jewish people, so the judgment is just superficial. He's not going to punish us for everything we're going to get away with a lot of shtick that we do. So the judgment is going to be in the standing position. That's how the standard Mefarshim learned. So Abchaim Soloveitchik, Rab Soloveitchik, Abchaim Soloveitchik gave it to Russia. It means just the reverse. The pasuk says, "V'yom d'shnei ha'nasham Hashem lahem hariv." So what does that mean? So l'fnei Hashem, v'yom d'shnei ha'nasham Hashem lahem hariv l'fnei Hashem. The two bali dinim should stand in the presence of the bezin. L'fnei Hashem means in presence of the bezin. So the bezin should be the yeshiva, and the bali dinim should be ba'mida. So when the Rebbe Shalom is judging the Umas Ha'olam, why they were so anti-Semitic, and why they tortured the Jews, and why they killed so many Jews, there the Rabban Shalom acts as the Balvin. He tainas on our behalf. Taininon. He tainas on our behalf. So when you taine, you're the Balvin, so the Balidinim have to stand. The Balidinim have to stand. But when the Rabban Shalom punishes the Jewish people for what they did wrong, so Rabban Shalom is not a Balvin over there. He doesn't say taininon. So he sits. He sits in judgment. The dayan has to sit. So the pasuk that says Nitzav Lariv Hashem Hakadosh Baruch Hu stands when he makes the din Torah. He stands because he's tining on behalf of the Jewish people when he wants to punish the Umas Ha'olam for their all of their anti-Semitic redifus, all the pogroms that they did against the Jewish people. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu there is functioning as the baldin. So that's called Raftas Riva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tainas ois on behalf of the Jewish people. Dantas Dina means HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits and he judges the case, and then the Kamtas Sikmasim, he acts as the Shoter. Usually in these Shoftim Meshochim, the Shofet paskins the Din, and the Shoter is the one who meets out the punishments. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does all three. Raftas Riva, when he's punishing the Umas Ha'olam, Raftas Riva means he argues out the case representing the Jewish people. That's Tainina. Dantas Dinim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits and he judges, and then the Kamta Sikmas, and he acts as the Shota. Why does the Rabban Shalom argue out the case against the Umas Ha'olam? So Rav Soloveitchik, I think, said three explanations. I don't remember the third one. One explanation was that the Jewish people, just like, where did the Gemara have on their mouth or not? Where did the Gemara have Taininon? By Yisayim and Lekuchas. The Yisayim and Lekuchas weren't involved in the Din Torah in the beginning. So they don't know the facts of the case. So the Bnei Yisrael don't even know the facts. We don't even know. The Nazis and the collaborators, they killed so many Talmid HaChachamim, they destroyed so much Torah. We don't even know how much of a Churban they made. So since we don't know the facts, and overthrow all the generation, they killed so many Jews, and they tortured so many Jews, and they caused so much aggravation, they stole so much money and so on, we don't even know what they did. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to taina on our behalf because he knows all the facts of the case. That was one explanation. Then he said a second explanation, that the Kuzari writes, that why is this, so what is the root of all the anti-Semitism? That's a big question. What is the root of all the anti-Semitism? Why is there so much anti-Semitism? They never even saw a Jew in their lives. What do they hold against the Jews? So the Kuzari thinks that really the Umas Ha'olam are jealous of the, I think that's what, they're jealous of the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered them the Torah, they turned it down. All the Umas Ha'olam turned it down. And Bnei Yisrael accepted it. They said, we'll try to do the best we can. We'll try to observe the mitzvahs. So now they realize they could have also accepted it. They would have also maybe been able to observe the mitzvahs. So they're rebelling against the Rabban Shalom. They're angry at the Rabban Shalom, so they take it out on the Jewish people. So all the anti-Semitic activities that they do is really a form of rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Baruch Shalom is the Baldin. Baruch Shalom is the Baldin. So that's why he tainas us. Rav Tasrivam, he's the Baldin. So that's why he tainas us. I think Rav Salvej gave a third explanation. Also, B'Shem Rav Chaim, why the Rebbeinu Shel Olam argues at the case on behalf of Bnei Yisrael. So he said, that's the same on Chanukah and on Purim. We have the same three Lashonos. Rav Tasrivam, Dan Tazdinam, the Kamtas, the Kmasam. That's on Chanukah and Al Anisim, and on Purim Yisrael Rabbi Shivreno Donis Dinen of Anoikem Es Nikmasen. Yeah, what has it got to do with here? Nochamo, I forgot already. Taininon, yeah. The Gemara says Taininon. So I said Taininon as Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph. Psach Picha Leilim. That pasuk in Mishlei. Taininon has a special connection with Purim. He's saying the Nusach Habracha. Rav Tasriban, that's based on Taininon. The mask of the Rapop, does this make sense? Tanina means the father died and the Yisayim don't know what, they don't know anything about the case. So Bezna advances the Taina that if the father would have been alive, he would have advanced the Taina, the father would have won the Din Torah. So even though the father is not alive, the Bezna advances the Taina and the Yisayim win the Din Torah. What if the father would be alive and the father would advance the Torah, the Taina? The father is the oldest brother and all the other children are younger. And the oldest brother is, they didn't divide the Chalukas HaYorshim, they didn't divide the Yerusha, and the oldest brother is buying, is selling, he's taking care of all of the assets of the estate. So if he would claim that the shtaras that are written in my name, all that money belongs to me, so Rab said, Olav Lahavi Raya, all the money is muchzak to the estate. All the money that the shtaras are written in the name of the oldest brother, is Noisim and Noisim, Tel Chabayis, he's not the muchzok. The estate, all the brothers are the muchzok. So that's Rav Papa's klum tainin aluhu liyasmi. The Beznin is going to advance the taina midi de lo tain lu habun. If the father himself would have advanced the taina, the father would not have won. The father would say, it's my money. We don't believe him. Rav says, olav lahavi raya. The brother who claims that the shtaras that are written in my name is my money, we don't believe him. So now that the brother died and the Bezin's going to advance the Taina, now it's better than if the father would have advanced it. If the father says it's written in my name, he knows what he's talking about. Bezin doesn't know what they're talking about. Bezin says, maybe. We discussed that. Tainin al-Lachar is only a Taina Shema. See here, the Tainin is stronger than if the father himself would advance the Taina. Rav says, Olav Lahavi Raya. The father is not the muhsak. The whole estate is the muhsak on all the shtaras, even the shtaras that are written in his name. So Mamsh doesn't make any sense. How can Shmuel say, Moideli Abba, that Rab would agree to me, even though Rab holds, Olav Lahavi Raya, but if the father died, then we say Tanina, and then it's better than if the father would be alive. That's impossible. That doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, Rabba Apik Zuga de Sarbala. A zuga is a scissors. Sarbala is trousers. So they used to have a scissors, a special in the tailor shop. They used to have a special scissors that cuts the trousers to size. Some people are taller, some people are shorter. So you don't want to have trousers that are too long, you don't want to have trousers that are too short. So he once took zuga de sarbala, the sifra da agarata. Agarata is Torah Shabbat Pei. You really shouldn't be writing it down, but they wrote down sifra da agarata. They wrote down Torah Shabbat Peh. It's probably after they started giving the Heter. So they allowed them to write down Mishnayah. Slowly, slowly, they wrote down. So they wrote down Sifra Dagarta Miyasmi. Velo Raya. They took it away from Nisayim and they had no Raya at all. Why is Vidor Masurim Lahashal Lahaskir? The Zuga de Sarbala belonged to some tailor and he always used to lend it out to whoever in the neighborhood. Everybody was friendly. If you want to make your own trousers, I'll lend you the, it was your dua. He would lend out the scissors to let them cut their own trousers. Sifra Dagarta had a lending library. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk of Tzidkasa Amedes La'ad. The Rishonim quoted it. It's a Gemara in Ksubis. Tzidkasa Amedes La'ad. A person gives tzedaka forever. How can he give tzedaka forever? You give the money and that's it. So the Gemara says, no, this refers to that kind of Svarim, Mashilin L'Acherim. A person buys a library of Svarim. And he lets everybody use the Svarim. So that's on an ongoing basis, that's considered a form of tzedakah. He has a lending library. He has a Tanakh, and he has a Gemara, and he has a Shulchan Aruch. He has all the Svarim that everybody wants to use. All of HaKosraim, if it's a Kosam Eretzlah, I think the Rosh maybe quotes it, and the Mordechai quotes it. They have a long Arichas on this Gemara. It's a Kosam Eretzlah. So the Gemara says, you could be Moitzi from Yisayim in Beloi Rai, if it's Zvar Masurim Lahash or Lahaskir. I have the Sifra Dagarata. And it says on the first page, this belongs to the lending library of whatever, Washington Heights, Yeshiva University. I have a book that says Benjamin Gottesman Library, and I claim that it's mine. What do you mean it's yours? It says Benjamin Gottesman Library. Everybody in the neighborhood borrows farm from the library. What do you mean you're going to claim it's yours? We know it's the Dorma Surim Lahasha Lahaska, this Zuga de Sarbala. Everybody knows that the tailor is a nice guy. He always lends out the scissors to whoever needs it. So one guy claims, I bought the scissors. So then he has no namanis. So if it's Dorma Surim Lahasha Lahaska, you have no namanis. The top Tosis goes into the details when yes and when no. It's input. All the Gemaras are in Shavuos. It's not here. So the din is. The Rama Surim LaHashal LaHasker. Vama Lukuch Mem Yode Einon Eman. So the same thing over here. The brother who's Echad Menachem Shoyin Osim Osim Atach Abayis. He's taking care of all the assets that they own from the estate. He's taking care of everything. So Rav is of the opinion, all of the Havi Raya, even though he claims that the shtoris that are written in his name are to him, that's not from the assets. We don't believe him. Everything is mukzak to the estate, to all of the children. All of a sudden, if the father dies, then we say taininon, and the taininon of the bezin is even stronger than if the father would have said that tainin with the tainin's father. That's impossible. How can that be? So the Gemara says, "Sasta gute kasha." Yeah, what's the story of the Akasha? So this is a famous Rashbam, the top Rashbam. Even though the din of the Gemara is not that important, doesn't come up so often, but this is a famous Rashbam. Sometimes the Gemara will say Tiyufta, and Amara says it, then they say Tiyufta. We have a Mishnah, have a Brisa of Fakir. So Tiyufta means upgefrekt. He's wrong. What he said is incorrect. Sometimes the Gemara says Kasha. So we usually assume that's what he quotes over here. Naktinim Rabboisai, when it says, who, Rabbeinu Hananel, okay, he says, we assume Tiyufta means what you said is wrong. Akasha means you have a good kasha and there's a good teretz. We're not going to bother to discuss the teretz. And one of the Sfaradish Achrayim from centuries ago wrote a sefer that's called Kashas Miyusha. Every time it says in the Gemara Kasha, he tells you what the teretz is. On a Tiyufta, he's not going to tell you what the teretz is. A Tiyufta means that he's wrong. The Amora is wrong. Whenever it says kasha, means you have a good kasha, there's a good teretz. We're not going to bother to discuss it. The Rashbam thinks that that's not correct. The Rashbam says, pichein, even though the Rabbeinu Hananel says that, and even though he has a tradition, Mirabosai, the Achilik in kasha and Tiyufta say, Afa pichein, ena nira be'enai. He thinks that that's the same thing. The kasha is the same as Tiyufta. The kasha means upgefrekt. And we don't accept that. We don't accept that sheet. Okay, so that's a famous issue. Every so often, there's a taisvus, a whole beferish like that. In the end of the first parak Makkos, there's a taisvus di mamascha kasha. I think the kasha says taisvus says misha shanazu lo shanazu, that they can't live in harmony together. Kasha the same as tiyufta. So the two opinions disagree with each other. There's such a taisvus in Menachos also, in the parak Rishma about the oimer. The Gemara says Kasha Tesis assumes Kasha is like Tiyufta, like the Rashbam. It's usually assumed not so. Usually assumed that Kasha not the same as Tiyufta. In fact, in the Rashba quotes from the Gemara, the Gemara has a Kasha in the beginning of Tfilas HaShachar. The first daf in Perek Tfilas HaShachar, the Gemara has a Kasha, and the Rashba quotes the Goyin. Rav Haigon gave a Teretz on the Gemara's Kasha. So Rav Haigon obviously assumes Kasha not the same as Tiyufta. Tiyufta means upgefrekt, kasha means a good kasha, and there's a good answer. We're not going to bother to discuss. So that's an important Rashbam. Top Rashbam on Omer Beis. Wait a minute, so Taka doesn't make any sense. So our Papa asks, is the murderer's kasha? If the father would be alive and he would say, all the stories that are written in my name are really, it's my money, it's not on behalf of the asset of the estate. If the father will not be believed, all of the Havira, so if the father dies and you say Taninon, so the Taninon makes it better, the more them honest than if the father would be alive and Taninon with a Taninon, but how can it be? It doesn't make any sense. So the Rosh explains, Me'ikar Adin, my Gemara doesn't have a Rosh, I forgot, my Gemara downstairs has a Rosh. So the Rosh on this Gemara says, Me'ikar Adin, Rav really agrees with Shmuel, that really, the brother whose name it's written in is really the muchzak on all that money. But it's a chumra midirabonon. If the brother is still alive, so he'll be able to bring rayas. So they were machmer midirabonon, even on the Yikar Adin. Alo achim lahavi ray. The achim claimed that the shtar is written in his name, really on behalf of the whole estate. That's not, they have to prove their case. They have to prove their Yikar Adin. The brother is the muchzak. But midirabbanan, they said, let him bring a raya still alive. But once he dies, how can the Yoshim bring a raya? They don't know. They don't know where the documents are. So then we revert back to the Ikar Adin. The Ikar Adin is the Rav really agrees with Shmuel. That Allah Achim lo havi raya. That's what the Rosh explains. The That's what I have to say, the Parsha Peshat. Okay, we'll learn that tomorrow. Tomorrow is Tainus Esther, where the Shira is probably early. We should continue. We should talk about the Parsha. We should talk about Purim. We'll negotiate. Okay. We'll figure out what we're going to do tomorrow. Okay. Yeah.